Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, this is the Shame-Free Zone, and I'm your host, Veronica Monet. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. We've already created quite a bit of a stir on Facebook. That's getting to be a weekly event here at the Shame-Free Zone. And tonight's topic is a pretty juicy one. We're going to be talking about sex and money, but I know you probably think we're talking about prostitution. You would be wrong. We're actually talking about abundance, sacred sex, and how having a juicy sex life might be able to lead to you also having a flush bank account. My guest tonight is Donya Love. She is calling in to us from New York City tonight. And Donya Love has actually got a very interesting profession. She teaches classes about urban tantra, and she also teaches something called Whore Economics 101. We'll have to find out more about that. Hey, Donya, welcome to the Shame-Free Zone.
Hi. Hi, Veronica.
Hi.
It's actually pronounced Whorenomics 101, and it's a presentation I'm giving at the Desiree Alliance.
Oh, tell us more about that. What is the Desiree Alliance? You know, I actually did a keynote there a couple years back, but tell our listeners, because there's a lot of them who have probably never heard of it.
The Desiree Alliance is a sex worker-led network of organizations and individuals across the U.S. working in harm reduction, direct services, and political advocacy, as well as health services for sex workers. And every year they have a conference, and they invite people in the community to come and speak. And I'm speaking on the subject, and it's called Whorenomics 101, and it's business tips and tricks of the trade.
Right on. Where's the conference being held this year? Is it up in Seattle?
No, it's in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, that's right. That's they had it in San Francisco one year. That was the year I keynoted. So I haven't been to any of the Vegas ones. I bet you guys have a wild time down there, don't you?
This is my first one, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, anyway, have a really good time in Las Vegas. I understand what happens there stays there. So let's move on and tell folks a little bit about your background. You've actually got kind of a corporate background that doesn't seem terribly related to this business of sex. Can you explain a little bit about how you made that connection or transition?
I've been sex positive pretty much all my life. I worked in the tech field in Seattle during the dot-com boom doing administrative services for about 10 years and went from there to doing construction and doing project management and construction and then did a stint. Throughout that time also was a circus artist as a fire performer, so I produced large events.
Wow.
And I went and lived in I lived in Italy for a while, and when I came back, I really just, I wanted something more, and I always knew I wanted to do something within the sex industry, the sex positive industry. I wanted to teach people how to be healthy, sexual, and sensual beings. And, I started working with, sex educators, because I'm really good. Sex educators' divinity is sex education, and mine is administration, marketing, and connection. And I talk a lot.
Can you say that again?
Wait.
Donya, slow down. What did you just say about your educational background?
My background is in administration and like marketing and connection, creating connections between two people. I love when I find something that I love talking to other people about it. And that's my divinity. I will, if I find something that I'm really crazy about, I'll go and tell everybody else about it and get them to do it too.
And when you say that's your divinity, what do you mean by that?
That's like, that's that's my calling. It's the thing that I found that I'm just really, really good at. It's my higher purpose.
Right, right. Which is building connections for people.
Yeah, exactly. You know, my name is Donya Love. So when I started working with people in the sex industry, I was like, wow, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. This is
okay.
Who I'm supposed to be doing, serving. You know what I mean? Is I'm supposed to be taking my talent and helping these amazing educators really get the word out. And so go ahead.
Well, the obvious question everybody's going to want to know, do you have a background in the sex industry yourself?
Mm-mm. No, I don't.
Oh.
Other than the last few years of working with women in the sex industry over the last 6 years, I don't actually have a background in the sex industry.
Okay. All right.
I brought my skills as an administrator and business savvy to the sex industry, to educators, and because sometimes, you know, a lot of people who it's, for example, artists, you know, they're great artists, but don't necessarily have the skill to go out and market themselves. And that's where I come in. So the women that I work with, they're amazing speakers. They do great work, but they don't necessarily know how to manage their finances or do marketing. And so I help them do that.
Oh, okay. All right. I get it. All right. So, you are kind of like the financial business advisor for sensual artists, it sounds like.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
Feel free to plagiarize that soundbite.
That's basically what I do. It's absolutely what I do. And I love it. And it's been an amazing partnership. And it's brought so much, to my life. And I've been really lucky to be a part of significant change in other people's lives, seeing the changes these women make for their clients. For example, I work with a really amazing author of this book called Urban Tantra. And,
Barbara Corrales.
Barbara Corrales, the amazing Barbara Corrales.
She's been on the show.
Mm-hmm. And I have done work for other women who have taught Tantra. And in an effort to better serve my clients, I would, you know, read books on Tantra. And none of the books I read really connected with me, and then I read her book, and I was like, whoa, this is exactly what I want to be supporting in the world. This is what I want to put out in the world. Why even bother reinventing the wheel? This is who I want to, like, this woman, what she's written is what that's what I want to be putting out in the world. I want to help her put her message out to the world. And that was about a year before.
Taught a class or helped her teach a class in San Francisco, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that class. What was it about?
It was Urban Tantra for the sex professionals. So we had sex educators and different people from different parts of the industry. We had the girls from Bondissage. I think you'll be interviewing them in a couple of weeks.
Yes, and we're going to hook up when I go on tour of Santa Cruz again.
Yes, they're amazing women, and I'm so excited about that's definitely another really exciting thing that they're doing, and I'm hoping to work with them too to support them. And so we have this really great group.
And just for the
Jamie Waxman.
Hold on, Donya. We throw in these terms out there. The listeners don't necessarily know what we're talking about. Bondissage is something that they just invented in Santa Cruz. You could find it online. It's like bondage with assage on the end, like massage. And that's exactly what it is. It's bondage combined with massage. Anyway, it's awesome, and I hope I can get a session sometime soon.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just like this perfect combination, therapeutic.
Have you had a session yet?
I have not, but I have plans to go out to their place in September, and I'm going to start doing some work for them because I'm going to help them do their trainings across the country.
Oh, cool.
And I'm going to help them with that. And then I plan on going to Santa Cruz in September to do some work personally with them and to learn how to surf. I'm very
excited. Have to let me know when you get back out this way, and I'll meet you in Santa Cruz.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
So anyway, I know I interrupted you. You were on a roll here. So you met the people from Bondissage were at Barbara Carellis' workshop, and the workshop was about teaching dark tantra / urban tantra to sensual professionals. Do I have it right so far?
I'm sorry?
I said, do I have it right so far?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the main parts of what makes urban tantra so unique is she's taking a rich tradition and really interpreting it for the 21st century and using a language that's vibrant and relevant to people today. A lot of the times, a lot of the books that are out there about tantra, they have a tendency to go over people's heads using a lot of esoteric concepts and language. And Barbara's book is just really straight to the point, really easy, a lot of easy exercises. And it also addresses, tantra is generally rooted in male and female gender roles, and urban tantra has kind of risen above that to say that, you know, there's all types of gender. We are multi-gender now, and she addresses that, and it's really like punk rock tantra.
Okay, now tell the listeners why Barbara Carellis is so keen on opening the conversation up around gender. Who's her partner?
The amazing Kate Bornstein, who
yes.
Wrote the book Gender Outlaw.
Gender Outlaw.
Yeah, another really amazing woman.
Absolutely. They're quite the dynamic duo, those two.
They really are. I really feel lucky to be surrounded by all these rock stars.
Yeah, they are. They're sexual rock stars. There's no doubt about it.
They are. They are.
So anyway, I know I keep interrupting you, but I just want to make sure we
That's
hit
okay.
the highlights
no,
for our
is...
listeners.
So we had all these, and we had Jamie Waxman in the class. She's an amazing sex educator as well. We just had this really amazing group of people, and Barbara really, her part was she really taught them like the main aspects of the book, the kind of gender-free orgasm, the erotic awakening massage. As language was a big part of it throughout the whole course, like helping people find a new refreshing language to connect with their market. I did a lot of work with them around exercises around connecting with your market and using words that will really, well, connect instead of using kind of the new agey concepts that can really people don't understand sometimes. So we did a lot of work around that. And then, of course, there was a section on dark tantra, which is an amazing kind of, I would say, new realm in tantra, and it's how tantra and BDSM kind of combine.
Okay.
And it's really beautiful. And the wonderful Eve Minax, she's an amazing professional dom out of San Francisco, joined Barbara for that and really made an impact on the class. And
wow.
So it was just a really, I just got back today. It was a really wonderful.
So I'll bet your heart chakras are just wide open at this point, huh?
Oh, they are. They are. And, you know, when I do my work and talk to women and men in this industry and I get to help them and give them that, I think sometimes women and men in this industry feel alienated and isolated, that they can't reach out for help, that they don't know who to turn to, that they feel like they have to do it all on their own when it comes to, like, just administrative stuff, marketing. Where do they go to get a website? And I have this, like, you know, I'm like this knowledge base, and I get to give it to them, and I can see the peace wash over them, and it's very satisfying, and it makes me feel really good that I get to be a part of that. So.
Well, it's not unlike the sense of satisfaction one gets from being an escort or some other type of sensual provider, because you are working with people around areas that have been traditionally shame-based and hidden, and you know, it creates a lot of sadness for people because
absolutely, and I'm
who
definitely
they are not being acknowledged and accepted.
Exactly.
So, okay, switching topics here. Let's get to our main topic tonight, which is how to create abundance through your sex life. And
absolutely.
Kick things off here. I want to check in with the folks on Facebook. Looks like we got at least 7 comments so far. Here was the question, does sex lead to prosperity? And I said, no, I'm not talking about prostitution here, although that is one way. I'm asking you if you have noticed you make more money when you're having a wonderful sex life. Do you think there is a connection spiritually or energetically? So the first comment came in from Oleana Tanya George, who says, I think it has to do with the manifestation of energy. When you are in the flow in one aspect of your life, usually, other areas benefit. And then she laughs and says, get laid, get paid.
There's a lot of truth to that, though.
I think so. I do. We got Brandon Peralt who says, good point. And then we've got Kelly Lynn Borges Smith who says, hi, Veronica. I notice that when I have sex, when I am fully there in different ways, emotionally, spiritually, but take my mind out of it, it frees me so completely. During these times when I have a lot of sex with this kind of intensity, everything in my life improves. I feel so fully awake. My finances improve so greatly, but you see, I'm a professional fine artist, so this kind of lovemaking greatly improves my creativity and thus my sales. I can tell the difference between the sculptures I make when I am having a lot of good sex compared to none or not good infrequent sex. It is like I am fully aligned and awakened when the sex is powerfully alive and conscious. When I have different kinds of orgasms, that is even better. The orgasms I have where it is like a complete flood seems to open up every part of my body. The ones where it is like a little peak actually drains me. I've noticed that when I have sex with a man who is also fully aligned, the magnetic attraction to what we desire in life is doubled and sometimes even tripled. So thank you, Kelly Lynn Borges Smith. That was awesome testimonial about the power of sex and creativity and prosperity. And, Donya, what kind of comments do you have about what these... I'm going to stop right there. We've got like another 4 comments, 4 or 5, but let's stop right there and let you weigh in on this.
Well, I think it's absolutely connected, and I think a lot of the times people look at it... she definitely obviously gets that, you know, inspiration from really great sex. But I find a lot of the times, a lot of people that I talk to look at it from the other way around. When they're doing well financially, that's when they have the really, really good sex because they feel powerful because of their, you know, the financial, how well they are doing financially. And especially now in this economy, what's really important is it's an energy, and energy goes both ways. And by, I think, creating good sex in your life or healthy sensuality in your life, that it will also create abundance and prosperity. It goes both ways. And I think people, especially now when people are so concerned about, like, they're looking at what's happening with the market. I think just recently this week there was a huge plunge, or last week, you know, people are really scared. And I think that they turn to the wrong things to fill up that fear, and what they should be doing is turning to connection and each other and, you know, establishing intimacy and strong connection. And I think that most people would find that if they do that, it will radiate outwards and it will create abundance and it will create prosperity. It works both ways.
It's interesting you mentioned the stock market because there is a lot of the terminology associated with the stock market is very sexual. You know, it plunged, it plummeted, it skyrocketed.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting language, isn't it?
Spike in the market. I'm sorry, what?
I actually never thought about the terminology they use in the stock market, but if you do think about it, it is very kind of... sexy. You know, depending on how you look at it.
Oh, I think so, too. Well, okay, so here we've got a comment from Terry Hinkle, who says that Kliana is correct about sexual energy being the highest form of manifesting energy. When you choose to be in that higher energy, you are naturally in the flow. Sexuality and spirituality are one and the same. So what do you think about that, about sexual energy being the highest form of manifesting energy? It is, after all, how we manifest as a human being.
I absolutely agree. I think that sexual energy, it's the biggest energy we have in our body. We're, you know, on a physiological level, we're animals and we're designed to procreate. And so we have this huge desire, and from that is this huge desire, this huge, you know, sexual desire. And it's a really powerful force. And I totally agree. I think it's the largest energy we have in our body. And we've been taught to be scared of it. You know, it's framed in different ways. We're shamed away from it. We're not really taught to be empowered, fully empowered sexual beings. And I absolutely agree. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's interesting to me when you think about the fact that probably the most awesome, amazing miracle going is the creation of another human life. And, mm-hmm. and we all know how
absolutely.
Babies, happen is through sex. And even if you're doing in vitro fertilization, you're still doing sex. You're just doing it in a test tube. But that whole idea of taking two disparate energies from two different sources and having them merge is how this amazing creative burst takes place. And you look around, and it's that way over and over and over again throughout the entire universe. Even when it comes to, like, the birth of an entire a galaxy. So a lot of times it's either, you know, that explosion or implosion of a star that will create movement, but like all the galaxies are spinning and they eventually start to spin into each other. When they spin into each other, they fuel each other. So, you know, some planets and stars are lost in the process, but then this bigger, more vibrant galaxy results from that merging. And it's interesting to me, we just see this pattern over and over again, but as people, you know, what's the message we get, especially here in the United States, that we are all just supposed to do it ourselves, pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, you know, be the master of our own universe, and you know, there isn't that, just like that partnership that you're building with your clients.
It's really multi-layered. You know, part of it, if we're fully empowered sensual human beings, we wouldn't be good consumers because we wouldn't go out and buy things to fill ourselves up. We would, you know, we would connect with each other instead. So if we keep each other isolated by, you know, telling people you got to do it on your own, you got to pull just by everything you just said, it keeps us isolated, and therefore, instead of turning to each other, we turn to, you know, buying stuff to make ourselves feel better. And which is also connected, coming back around to the idea of abundance, is what's so great about when you have a healthy sensual life, when you feel connected, I feel like your idea about abundance changes because no longer do you need, you know, a new flat screen TV to make you feel good. What makes you feel good is connecting with other humans. You know, instead of, you know, spending $300 on something that'll last a year, you'll spend $300 on, you know, maybe a get together with your friends and creating memories that'll last a lifetime. So the connection between healthy sensuality and abundance is that, like, having healthy sensuality changes your idea of abundance, and so different things create abundance in your life. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely, it makes sense. And I agree. I think that our current culture is really designed to keep us asleep. I feel like the vast majority of people are sleepwalking through life. They're not really fully engaged. They're not really awake.
Exactly.
You know, there's like all this depression, you know. People are just kind of like mildly depressed because they don't really have, they're not connected to their passion. If they probably had passion as a small child, but somebody killed it, you know. And what, whoever the people were that killed it, the job was finished with all the institutions that got funneled through, you know, from school to, you know, I put 7 years into corporate America myself before I went into escorting, and it is one of the most soul-numbing, empty pursuits I can think of. And, you know, and I'm not saying everybody would have that experience of it, and thank God. I mean, I'm glad other people are doing other jobs because I really appreciate being the beneficiary of those, you know, different professions. But the way it's set up, I feel, doesn't really allow people to show up with their passion, their creativity, and their individuality. You know, except for some rare instances, like, you know, you've got Google. That would be probably an example where people have a high level of fulfillment and excitement about going to work. But
are you talking about the corporate environment of Google?
Yeah.
I've
heard good things about it. I don't actually know anything.
I have too. I kind of have a crush on them. I think you know, everybody I've ever talked to who works for them is happy, and I think that they have a lot of integrity.
Yeah, that's my impression of it. I mean, and then what do you see come out of that? You know, it's like, wow, they just like sweep the world. And I think that's so much, that's very encouraging to me to see somebody build a model that's really life-affirming and, you know, affirming of the individual and then succeed. So that kind of ties into our whole theme here, right?
Absolutely. Like, well, you know, if you do good in the world, good will come back to you.
I have an expanded view of sexuality. I think that if you're alive and creative, you are being sexual. So, you know, you don't have to engage your gonads. It's about breathing and being
connected. Oh, absolutely. I mean, the root of sensuality is senses. Engaging your senses, your sense of taste, your sense of touch, your sense of sight, hear everything, and when your senses are fully engaged, you're completely present in the moment. And when you're completely present in the moment, you're completely connected. You're not, you know, you're not thinking about what's going to happen in an hour. You're not thinking about what's happening behind you, but you're completely connected to in the moment and to your environment. And I think, you know, we're walking around and we're not connected to our moments. And that's what healthy sensuality is about: engaging your senses. So absolutely, it doesn't have to do anything here with your private parts. It has everything to do with your senses, which a lot of the time, especially Tantra, what's so great about it is sex is a really great way to engage all the senses immediately. Very rarely when you're having good sex are you thinking about what's happening, you know, an hour from now or what has happened. You're really engaged in the moment. That's why sex is a good place to start teaching.
Right.
But it definitely isn't the only place.
Well, and then it all depends on how you define sex. I guess for me, I'm like, you know, sex is where the sexual energy, you know, especially if you've studied Tantra, is supposed to be, you know, the kundalini, the snake-like energy coiled at the base of our spine, and this is where all the other energy feeds off of. So whether you're engaged in your heart or your brain, it's still really originating from that sexual core.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you agree with that?
I agree. What?
Okay. Well, don't let me make you speechless, because we, you know, dead air and radio is. Like, we don't want that.
Sorry.
So argue me.
I have to pause for a moment. I tend to stay away from terms like kundalini and stuff, because it's not very exciting for me.
Okay.
It's one of the things about, that's why I really like Urban Tantra, is she has a tendency to stay away from that stuff. Although I do think that your sexual energy is, if I'm understanding you correctly, is that your sexual energy is a good base to start from.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree. I agree.
Well, and, I guess I'm really looking, you know, just redefining sex. I mean, but, you know, whatever. That's a really a big topic, and we don't have to go there. But let's read a couple more comments here from Facebook. We've got Blur Bomb. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. It's BLR and then capital BOM. Blur Bomb is the best I can come up with. I don't know if that's your real name or, you know, some kind of an acronym you're using for Facebook. But anyway, this gentleman says, yes, I agree. Being satisfied sexually allows you to focus on work and make more money. Very true. Now, I think what he was saying is that if he's distracted about wishing he could have sex, that he can't concentrate. And I'd like you, Donya, to go ahead and, you know, explain how that may be a tangent to what we're talking about here, but it doesn't really approach the core of the topic.
Yeah, the distraction part is everybody, I think, when they're, this is something I can't really speak to well. I mean, to me, this is different than what we're kind of talking about. Like, we're
talking, that's what I just said. I understand where he's coming from. I understand that he, you know, that this is kind of like a common theme for, you know, men especially in their culture. A lot of times is as well, I'm so focused on wanting to get off, I can't think straight, so I need to, you know, masturbate or something, have sex with somebody so I can go do my job or, you know, concentrate. But it's a totally different thing than what we're talking about. We're actually talking about, you know, more like sex magic or conjuring, where you are aligning your creativity and your sexuality and bringing those energies together so that they actually manifest the things that you're thinking about in your mind.
Yeah, instead of sex as a distraction, I think we're talking about sensuality as a way to not be or as a connective or conscious sensuality. We're talking about consciousness and not distraction. I think that's the difference.
It is. Instead of thinking of it as like a buildup of this tension, this physical tension that has to be released, we're actually talking about raising that energy so that it catapults all your other, you know, efforts and activities into another dimension. Which, I mean, we're talking about like supercharging your life by supercharging your sex life, don't you think?
Yeah, exactly. Barbara says something really interesting, and I think that this is applicable to this. Is in the West, sex is something that we do, and in the East, sex is something that they allow to happen. That we are the conduit by which sex happens through our bodies. And to me, when he's talking about being distracted, it's a Western mindset of do, or I have to do this, or I'm distracted by what's going on in my private parts, whereas more conscious sexuality like recognizes that we are conduit to allow that, allows energy to come through us.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And you know, I like to be equal opportunity here and read all my Facebook comments, at least so far. At some point, they're going to get too onerous, and then I'm going to have to pick and choose. But I still want to, you know, I don't want to just pick on the people that are resonating with what we're having to say here. So we've got a humorous aside here. Lance Holland says, I think it helps you golf better, too. Then we have something that's not too terribly funny. Marshall Folsch says, I don't think it leads to prosperity. However, prosperity leads to more sex. Chicks love to screw rich guys. No matter how old or how ugly the men are, money is a tremendous door opener for tail. Okay, Marshall, and I hope you have some money because that kind of speech doesn't really get girls' libidos going. But and then we have Bianca Tamarino comes back and says, Marshall, wow, what a crude, uneducated comment. No wonder that's your perspective. So, any comments from you, Donya?
I think actually there's something about what he's saying, and there's a truth to what he's saying, but I think that the truth of it is a little deeper in that when you're at the height of your financial success, you're feeling powerful and you're feeling secure and confident, and people are attracted to that. And he does kind of say it in a like a crass sort of way, but there is truth to that. You are, when you're at the height of your financial prowess, you are, you're like a lion, you know, and there's something really attractive about that. But the truth is you can be, you can attain that, by being just as, by pursuing a rich sensual life as well. It'll create the same thing, and by that you will bring abundance into your life. You know, when you're feeling great and when you're sensually healthy, you're confident and you want to connect with people, and connecting with people, it brings abundance into your life. So I do think that what he says, there's some truth to it.
There's truth on both levels. You know, on the cynical side, sure, there are gold diggers who marry for money or date for money, and don't really care about the person who has the money. They're just trying to get access to it. And, you know, so that's the cynical take on that. But I agree with you. You know, the more positive take on that is if you find yourself feeling, you know, jealous or intimidated by what some people are able to create in their life, it wouldn't hurt to actually pay a little more attention and don't just dismiss it as, oh, well, it's because their hair is this color or their body looks that way or they're this age or they're this race, because these are ways in which we really hurt ourselves. We're basically saying, well, I can never have that because I don't have this. And I think a more proactive approach is to say, hey, you know, maybe some of what's going on here is this confidence, this magnetism, and I'm not getting it. I don't get it.
There's more than one path to that, right? Financial path. They're like, I'm going to make a lot of money, and when I make a lot of money, people are going to admire me. And I say that's the wrong path, because money is, it's fake, you know? It's like, it's false, whereas if you take the other path through sensuality, through connecting with humans, that's real. It's something that, like, it can't be taken away from you no matter what happens on Wall Street.
Well, and if you become, you know, mentally unstable because of your isolation and your bad attitude and your money, then you're not necessarily going to have a great sex life. I mean, come on, Howard Hughes and Michael Jackson being two glaring examples. they had the money. But they did not have the honey. We've got a comment here from Jeffrey Turnbull. Jeffrey Turnbull sent me a private message. He said, the connection between sexual connectedness and prosperity, neither of which I know much about, but wanted to offer that in astrology, the mother goddess planet Venus is related to both love and prosperity, suggesting a strong connection between those two topics. And, Donia, what do you think about that? Venus? I had not actually heard that Venus was associated with both love and prosperity.
I thought it's not on Facebook. I'm trying to read the comments along with you.
Yes. Well, no, he put this as a message to me because he hadn't gotten accepted as my friend yet, and he couldn't post on my wall. So the connection between sexual connectedness and prosperity, neither of which I know much about, but wanted to offer that in astrology, the mother goddess planet Venus is related to both love and prosperity, suggesting a strong connection between those two topics. And again, this is from Jeffrey Turnbull. Thank you, Jeffrey, for your enlightening comment. I didn't actually know that Venus was related to both love and prosperity.
Well, I think it makes perfect sense. The mother, the idea of the womb, the creation in the womb is about lushness. You know, humans we're great creators. If we're not creating babies, we're creating other things. So yeah, it makes perfect sense to me that both would be connected.
Absolutely, and I love that. Now, every time I look at the morning and evening star, I'm going to think about that.
Yeah, I mean, the ultimate, I guess it's just how we look. Again, I say I think we need to change how we view prosperity and what, because right now we think it all has to do with money, you know? And I think the idea of, you know, Venus astrology, that the prosperity equals sensuality, I think what they're saying is, like, that the womb is, that the mother is lush. If we look around in nature, it's lush. She's prosperous. She gives us a lot. I think it's beautiful.
Oh, I agree. I agree that it's very, very beautiful. Yeah. Well, I'm watching the clock here, and I want to make sure that we get to talk about all the things that you want to talk about tonight, as well as our main topic on Facebook here. Maybe one thing that we could do, move from reading these comments here and actually just talk a little bit about some of the ways that you perhaps help people associate their sex life with their prosperity. Because, you know, you are very much about helping people position themselves financially. And you're also teaching people about waking themselves up around sex. You just got back from teaching this wonderful workshop with Barbara Corrales. So do you have any, you know, like concrete tips for our listeners on how they could start to supercharge their finances through sex, or how they can start to supercharge their sex through their finances?
Definitely. One way to really supercharge, I think, your sex life is to invest more in adventures and instead of toys. I think taking the opportunity to go out and purchase books or go to trainings that offer more insight into sexuality is definitely a good investment, and that it'll definitely will yield good results, things that will last a lifetime. The other way around, when I work with clients in regards to finances, the first thing I ask them is, how much do you want to make? And then I ask them to list out, like, what's really important to them. And 9 times out of 10, what's really important to them isn't, 200 pairs of shoes. It's being able to travel. And so getting your priorities straight is really important. And
I have a shoe fetish, honey. Don't you dare take those shoes off that list.
Fetishism is a little bit different, but I think you understand what I mean. Like, the idea, again, going back to the idea that if you have extra, why go spend it on a TV that's going to die in a year? Why not go and spend it on a vacation that you're going to remember for the rest of your life? Why not go spend it on...
Now, I have to say, back when I did actually have a nice income from being an escort, I spent money on upgrades to the house. That was a good investment because it all paid off when I sold that house. I really turned that puppy around and made a lot of money off of it. But the stuff does wear out. It comes, it goes. It goes out of style. I can't believe all the CDs I bought, all those dinners out. What a waste of money that is. But the part that I really, you know, have fond memories of is all those tropical vacations, scuba diving.
Exactly.
Going to Papua New Guinea, going to Aruba, Curacao, and Bonaire, and and Cozumel, and just that's what I remember.
And that's hot. Like, ever since I've gotten into this, what I do now, I've had the opportunity to really try to, I've really tried to walk my talk and connect with people, and I found that it's just, I'm happy, I feel abundant, I feel successful, and my sex life is definitely wonderful, and I feel really connected with my partner, and he feeds my soul, and I feel like the sex that we have really gives me the fuel to go out and, you know, change the world. And it's cyclical. Like, it, you know, I connect with people, I get really excited, I bring it back home, and I'm turned on, I'm activated by my work, we go have really great sex, that fuels me to go out, to go and connect with more people, create more abundance. And it's really cyclical, you know what I mean? And
I do know what you mean.
Like,
I find just even like going to conferences and workshops and really just being around other dynamic people, and it stirs up my creative pot and it gets me all excited. And that's to make my email inbox overflow and make my telephones ring. I have really found that it's not about, you know, marketing, and yes, I have to do that footwork. If I don't do that footwork, then nobody would even know I was here. But really, seriously, it's about changing and shifting my energy. So
yes.
If I am feeling sexy and alive and dynamic, and I carry myself in a different way, so one of the things that I do is I take a break from whatever I'm doing, and I turn on some music, and I dance. Right here in my office by myself. And that just shifts the energy so much. And I have seen this happen several times where I start dancing, shifting the energy, and all of a sudden there's somebody just put something in PayPal for me.
I know, it's magic. You engage your passion and it just happens like magic.
It does.
And I think more people need to, I think that's something that really is, like, that makes life hot and that makes sex hot, is engaging your passion. If passion is hot, it's the thing that ignites you, it's the thing that inspires you, and when you're inspired, it's hot, you know? I have the best sex after, like, my greatest achievements and my greatest triumphs, and those are generally have nothing to do with how much money I'm making. They generally have to do with somebody that I met that totally turned my brain on or that totally engaged my passion. And
yeah.
I think that that's really important, like to have a hot sex life and to be prosperous, you need to engage your passion and you need to go out and engage other people's passion.
Absolutely, and it really does help to be in a room full of other people who are you know, raising that kind of energy too. But I also work with my clients around masturbation meditation. So, like, if they don't happen to have a partner, and you know, don't have access to a workshop or whatever, because you know, people live in different areas and have different circumstances. But masturbation ritual that I teach is pretty basic. You probably have something like it yourself. But I usually ask people to take up a conscious breathing practice of some sort, like if they've got a meditation that they do that incorporates chanting and conscious breathing, that's really nice. And if you've done your meditation for at least a half an hour and then segue into creating a romantic ambiance for yourself so that you light incense, if you like that, if you're, you know, sensitive to fragrances, then skip that part. Candles and put on music that you find very sensuous. I rather than, like, you know, thinking like Barry White type of music, though, I'm usually thinking about something that's very expansive, you know, that kind of gets you to thinking you could do anything. So, you know, some of my favorites are like Enigma. I love Enigma.
Ooh, I love Enigma. Massive Attack.
Oh, and Delirium. Do you love Delirium too?
Mm-hmm. Dead Can Dance. Oh, love Dead Can Dance.
Yes, yes. So, and then I do not fantasize about sex when I'm doing my masturbation meditation. I focus on the pleasure while thinking about other things, like the money that I want to attract, the book I want to write, how I want to pull in a public spokesperson to save the bonobos in the Congo, you know, the vacation that I'd like to take in Tahiti, the deck I want to build on my cabin.
Yeah, I fantasize about travel quite a bit when I'm in that space.
And I don't know about you, but I have some of my best orgasms when I'm in this expansive place. You know, another dream of mine, doing a lecture at the TED conference. And I can get...
At the what conference?
TED. TED conference is...
It's
an intellectual think tank. And and it seems like all my friends are getting to speak there now. But They, I don't know if you ever saw Mary Roach's 10 Things You Never Knew About Orgasm.
Oh, no, I haven't.
At TED Conference. You know, for our listeners, I will post that up on the wall so that you can actually check it out. TED is Ideas Worth Spreading, Riveting Talks by Remarkable People. And it stands for technology, entertainment, and design. So some of the people that speak there are like Al Gore and Jane Goodall. So never heard of it. What did you speak on? Huh?
What did you speak on?
I have a talk there. That's my wet dream.
Oh, what a great dream!
Well, other people are jerking off to some hunk with ripped abs. I'm jerking off thinking about speaking at the TED conference.
I totally fantasize about similar things. I fantasize about. It's funny, but because I'm a really behind the scenes type of person, I fantasize about my clients, like that I work with personally, like making a lot of money or Oprah calling them. But one of my fantasies is about Oprah calling Barbara and putting Urban Tantra on the Oprah book reading list. Like I absolutely fantasize about that because it would be a big deal. And so I completely understand. I completely understand.
I have the same fantasy about, you know, because one of my pet causes is the bonobos because they're very peaceful and loving and sexual creatures, and they do not have a public spokesperson. You know, the gorillas have got Sigourney Weaver. The chimpanzees have got Jane Goodall, and the bonobos don't have anybody. They've got the Bonobo Conservation Initiative, but they don't have a movie star. So I'll like think about that. You know, I think about, I wonder if I could ever meet a movie star that would talk on behalf of the bonobos. and I see myself in a small plane flying over the forest in the Congo, going to meet a real live bonobo in his natural environment.
Wow. Are you looking all
this
scarlet?
This is what I masturbate to.
That's so funny. I never thought about that before, but I don't really, when I'm doing the same thing, when I masturbate, I think about my boyfriend a lot, but at other times I find that I'm fantasizing about like the great adventures that I'm going to have and that my clients are going to have. I think it's really magical. It really ties into the idea of sex magic. And
it does.
You're in a really powerful place when you are expanded, when you are orgasming. That's some big juju that's going on in your body that you're expressing to the rest of the world. And I think it works. I absolutely believe that it works.
Well, I do too. And boy, what an amazing way to do an affirmation.
Yeah.
Create a visualization and affirmation times 1,000, you know?
Absolutely. It feels really good, too.
Oh, yeah, there's that part, too. Yes, it does. So I'm going to actually post this. Mary Roach, 10 Things You Didn't Know About Orgasm. My wet dream. Speaking at TED. And that'll...
You should ask your audience what their wet dream is, like on a larger scale like that. I think
I would, but we've only got about we run a little over the 10 o'clock, but we don't have that much time for me to post another question.
Okay. I think that's a great subject for something for a future discussion. Definitely,
it is. We could even do a session where. Maybe people could call in and actually get some assistance with their affirmations, visualizations during sex. Speaking of sex magic, which you said the word, what do you think about that? Have you studied that at all?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's absolutely, it works and it's powerful and either by yourself or with someone else. I just did an amazing... I was part of a, like, it was I don't know if it was really sex magic related, but it was definitely sensual magic. At the end of the training, we put somebody on the table, and both Barbara and I are really into fire.
Oh.
And there's this technique that you can do with isopropyl alcohol and fire. Each of us in with isopropyl alcohol drew a symbol that kind of represented where we ourselves and our, like, our highest dreams and aspirations. And we drew, she was nude, and we drew an isopropyl alcohol on her body and then lit it up.
Oh, my
and that
God.
Was that. It was powerful, powerful. With the all, with everybody in the class standing there, you know, we all have our hands just kind of gently placed on her, and she's a, you know, she has a background in firewalking. She just has this amazing ability to, she, fire doesn't really want to go out on her. We had some a couple of times where we were like having to rub for a while, but I believe, I mean, again, sexual energy is really powerful. That's some powerful stuff, and if you learn how to utilize it correctly, I think you can really, you can use it to, you know, to benefit yourself and the rest of the world and the people around you. I mean,
absolutely.
It's just that stuff that babies are made out of. Like, that's magic.
It
you know,
is
so
magic.
You should be able to use that to create other things, to manifest other things in your life.
I agree. And speaking of babies, you know, this is something that is actually in the Mary Roach video that I just posted to Facebook. I checked my homepage. I don't see it up there yet, but it supposedly went through on TED, so it should be up there in a couple minutes. Anyway, if you watch this video, it's only about 10 minutes long, and you'll see that they've actually got an ultrasound of a baby masturbating in the womb. And this happens to be a male baby that she's going to show pictures of. But they've also documented female fetuses masturbating in the womb to the point of orgasm. So I think that, you know, the really important message there is that we've really, like, anchored our sexuality to things like porn or nudity or even having sex with another human being. And nothing wrong with that, but it really reduces your connection sexually. It doesn't give you all the options that are available. And if you think about it, if your first orgasm took place before you ever had your first breath of air or your first sip of mother's milk, you weren't thinking about sex with another human being at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You probably weren't thinking about much of anything except how good this feels.
I didn't know that they had documented things like
they
that.
They have, just in the last mm-hmm. couple of years. When I was getting my certification as a sex educator and a sexologist, this was not common knowledge. But it is now.
It seems like sex has become this thing that we take and we put outside of our bodies that kind of follows us around like a shadow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That the ultimate goal is to kind of integrate that back into ourselves.
Absolutely, and to realize
definitely.
That it's like at your core. So, you know, and I think on some level we've kind of known this because we've thought that maybe we needed to have some kind of timing around, like, oh, you're going to go play the big football game. Maybe you don't want to, you know, have sex the night before. That would be like the mythology that followed around that. I don't happen to agree with it. I think if you want to win that football game, you should have some great
you
sex the night before. But
yeah,
it's interesting,
absolutely.
Isn't it, that they thought the sex and the football game might be connected. You know? So for that part, I'd say they were kind of on the right track. Just a little misguided.
Yeah. I mean, sex should be this platform that you jump from and that you experience the rest of the world through these great glasses. It shouldn't be this thing that you don't do so that you can experience the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. We have a
wow.
lovely comment here from Amanda G. Wright. Amanda G. Wright's actually going to be on the show next Monday, and Amanda makes a mandalas. And they're these beautiful mandalas that zero in on one's sexual and creative energy. So we're going to be following up on this theme even in a more artistic fashion. Next Monday, but Amanda wrote on the wall tonight. She says, what a great show this is. I absolutely agree with you, Veronica. When you speak of how awakening the Kundalini energy can be a powerful transformational energy. Start a fire in the root and sacral chakra. Find your passion. Use this energy to create and manifest abundance and joy. And thank you, Amanda, for your comment. And yes, Donya, I'm already anticipating you. I know you don't like all those heavy.
Oh, no, no. I think, no, it's just I have a different word for it. It's the integration. To me, like awakening the Kundalini energy is exactly what I'm saying when I'm saying integrate your sensuality back into your body.
So translate that using your terminology, because I'm sure that the bulk of our listeners probably feel the same way as you do. Like, wow, those terms sound so esoteric. What does it mean?
I think instead of saying, like when people, they say awakening your Kundalini energy, I think maybe an easier way to express it to people would be just tapping into it and allowing it to happen. It's the same thing.
Tapping into
your sexual energy and allowing it to happen. The same thing is, to me, it's the same, I mean, I know that the work around awakening your Kundalini energy is pretty profound and very powerful. There's a lot of like specific steps that you're supposed to go through to get there. Some people it happens very quickly. Some people it happens over a long period of time.
Isn't it actually kind of potentially dangerous?
Yeah. I've heard that it could make you like. Supposedly, it can make you crazy.
Yeah.
But I think that the idea is you do it in a way where you're able to, in a healthy manner, harness that energy instead of just, you know, when you do, you've done magic, haven't you? You've done ceremony, and at the end,
sure.
Generally, you ground
you
the
you
energy.
Have to, clear the space.
Yeah, and you have to ground the energy, and if you don't, you walk away not rooted, you feel disoriented. And I think, like, if you're awakening or tapping into your sensual energy without any kind of guidance, without any purpose, then, yes, it is dangerous. It's reckless. And I think there should be purpose. I think that when you're harnessing your sensual energy or your sexual energy, it should be to, you know, create a better world. You should have an objective, you know, create more prosperity, create more connection. You shouldn't just be, I'm not just going to go out and try to have really great sex and open that up without any kind of focus. I think that, you know, I think it becomes reckless then. So,
What about if you have, you know, some type of an awakening or opening around actually having sex with another person? Isn't there a risk that you will start to think that that person created it and you'll get maybe attached to them?
Again, I think that that's not, if that's the result, then what led up to that isn't necessarily a healthy awakening. I think that, I mean, part of it is people are catalysts for a change in each other. I definitely believe that. I don't think that we're not born in vacuums. We are humans. We rely on each other. You know, we need to be connected to each other. That's why we have friends. But I think that a lot of the times when people, you know, the typical, you know, somebody has sex for the first time and they fall in love because that's their first experience. I think that it's a result of bad training, you know, like that, you know, the idea that, you know, as little girls, we're supposed to grow up and get married. So, and sex, you know, we're taught that sex is put in this framework of a relationship, of a marriage, sex outside of that is dangerous. And, to me, that's wrong. That's not a healthy way to look at sex, and it leads to attitudes like, it leads to actions like that. When, you know, when people have sex with each other, they believe that, then they attach those emotions to each other, and they're not really authentic. You know, it's something.
Well, one of the things that concerns me about that approach is that it doesn't help people learn how to connect to their own energetic reality.
Yeah, we're placing our sexuality in somebody else's hands.
Well, worse than that, I think the focus becomes this exterior reality, like we're married and we have a license. So that then married people can end up having this really, you know, empty, passionless, loveless sex with each other, oftentimes, you know, even thinking that they kind of owe it to each other or they should or have to do it. And they're not really, I mean, I just feel like that's so sad because, like, well, somebody, you know, gave it its stamp of approval, now that's the kind of sex you're supposed to be having. But, you know, the way I would want people to show up for married sex is that it's out of choice, it's out of empowerment, it's out of joy and passion, and not because somebody told you you should, because it's actually an organic process, and you can't get to an organic process if you're busy trying to fulfill somebody else's formula and a long list of shoulds.
True. Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of, a lot of married people walking around like zombies.
Yeah, you do.
And I think too often we do hand our, we hand the responsibility of our sexuality over to other people because it's easy for us or because that's what we've been told to do. And we need, if it, I mean, in my perfect world, we'd start a healthier sex education in schools. You know, kids are coming out of high school with this clinical idea of sexuality and then fear-based. You know, if you have sex outside of marriage, you're subject to all these really horrible diseases. It doesn't, how is that pleasurable at all? You know, why aren't we teaching our kids? I think we can teach our kids to be sensual little connectors and healthy and responsible, like that they're not, you know, I think when we, when we don't give them that information, it produces recklessness.
Well, and more importantly, they already were born sexual. And, you know, we go to great lengths to try to pretend that they're not and to shame them around being that way if they are. So we end up, you know, really perverting it. I love borrowing terms from sexphobic culture.
I mean, I think our education has a tendency to create the deviant that it knows that.
Amen. You are preaching the choir there. See, like, for instance, Catholic Church, I don't think the Catholic Church attracts pedophiles because it's a great job for meeting little boys. I think the Catholic Church creates pedophiles.
Yes.
But, you know, because people are being forced to live in a shame-based, repressive environment, and therefore it just oozes out of the cracks in these really horrible, abusive ways.
Yes. Yeah. I absolutely, absolutely agree with you.
Well, we've established that you and I agree about everything, and now it's time for me to sign off. And we had a nice, lively discussion on Facebook tonight. Thank you guys very much for joining in on our discussion. And like I said, we'll be back again Monday to talk about this some more. Donya, why don't you take us out with some contact information so people can find out how they can sign up for your amazing coaching and classes.
Well, I can be reached at donyalove@gmail.com. And if they want to learn more about Urban Tantra, which is really like one of the movements that I push, they can go to www.urbantantra.org and learn more about the author, Barbara Corellis.
Very cool. Very cool. And,
Thanks so much.
And so you just email is how they should reach you?
Yes. Oh, and my phone number?
I put my phone number out there. But I have a answering service. If it's your cell phone, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I prefer people reach me by email to start, and if they have any questions, we can start
like,
that way.
But if they're interested about
some of the training, you know, I do a lot of the training. I do in partnership with Barbara. So definitely going to the Tantra website is a great place to start.
I think that's the best way. All right, Donya. Well, I hope I do actually get to meet you in person at some point. Next time you're in San Francisco, Santa Cruz, let's hook up at Santa Cruz.
Surfing in Santa Cruz, I think it's a date.
All right, dear. All right.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks so much for enlightening us in the shame-free zone. It was great.
Thank you. Have a great night. Bye.
You too. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with you.